In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our movement towards the Feast of Christmas, our journey into the Nativity Fast, is now 10 days deep. And this morning in the Gospel lesson, our Lord speaks to us very timely words about rules. And just about now in our life within the church, rules are very much a part of our thinking and part of our vocabulary. In these days of preparation, the church sets forth a collection of rules and guidelines that are supposed to kind of govern and regulate our behavior. We are asked to pray with greater intensity, to give to those in need more deeply. The priest is constantly reminding us of the need, really of the requirement, to give a Lenten confession during Advent. And of course, this is called the Nativity Fast for a reason. There's the fasting. The church asks us to live under a set of restrictions concerning what and how and even how much we are to eat. As Orthodox Christians, it seems that so often we are surrounded not only by so great a cloud of witnesses as we hear throughout the year at times, we are also surrounded by this mighty web of rules. Alongside the saints and angels who pray for us and who join their voices together with ours during worship, alongside the saints and angels, there's the Typikon and all those monastic manuals that ask us to not only pray, but also tell us, you may not eat this, you must do that. The word given to us this morning through the gospel reading, however, is a word that helps us to recover the true meaning of these requirements, all of these obligations and commitments, all of these rules, which seem to be part of our lives as Orthodox Christians. This morning, the evangelist Luke records that on one Sabbath, our Lord was keeping his usual routine. He was teaching in the synagogue. The synagogue, of course, was the place to be on the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the final day of the week, is a day that is set aside in Jewish law as a day on which no work is to be done. It's holy. No work, only rest and prayer and reflection on the goodness of God, gathering to give thanks. But in the synagogue that morning, there was a woman who is described by Scripture as having been bent by infirmity for 18 years. For 18 years, she lived with debilitating pain. And no doubt, our Lord knew exactly who this woman was. No doubt the infirmed woman sat in the same pew in that same synagogue every Sabbath for at least those 18 years, if not more. No doubt our Lord passed this woman countless times in the streets over the years. Maybe he had even eaten at her home, received her hospitality. But for some reason, our Lord passed over all of those opportunities in the past to bring healing to the woman, and he decides to pick this day. He picks a Sabbath. He picks a day when all the Pharisees, his sworn enemies, are watching. He picks a day in which the rule book says, don't do it. And Scripture records that he accomplishes the forbidden work of healing that woman on that day set aside for holy rest. I'm always attracted to what the mind of the apostles must have been like at that moment. Think for a moment about them. His closest companions, they must have been going out of their minds. Master, don't do it. It's the Sabbath. Can't you wait until tomorrow to heal this woman? You know, you could have healed her yesterday. The Pharisees, they're here, and they're taking names. Master, please don't provoke them. Don't get their knickers in a twist. It's the Sabbath. Let's rest. But he does. He does those things that he is not supposed to do. He brings healing to the suffering woman on a day when all the rules declare that he shouldn't. When he heals the woman on the Sabbath, our Lord breaks the rules, but at the same time, even as he breaks those rules, he does something marvelous. He reminds us of what those rules are all about. Brothers and sisters, rules and guidelines and obligations and commitments and requirements, whatever you want to call them, these regulations can seem like such a dead weight to carry around. So contrary to the freedom in Christ which we proclaim in the Gospels and in church. But these rules are given to us for an important reason. One of our great enemies in the spiritual life, one of the forces that we wage war against, is the great enemy of business as usual. The great enemy that we call the status quo. When time becomes something that we just go along with, when we find ourselves just going with the flow or following the crowd, then to be sure we are on a path that leads not to God, but always away from God. And all rules, all discipline within the spiritual life, all asceticism, all of our fasting and prayer and almsgiving, these are designed to shake us and to wake us up and to challenge us to follow the call of Jesus Christ rather than the call of the world. Our four long Lenten seasons in the church, our fasting rules on the Wednesdays and Fridays throughout the year, our spiritual disciplines are given to us so that we might shatter the dead reflexes of business as usual. As Orthodox Christians, we engage in fasting, if you count up the days, for most years, we engage in fasting for more than half the year. And we do so to assist in reversing the slow poison of living life on automatic pilot. In this world, we have to choose God. We have to convert every day. We have to choose love. We have to choose forgiveness and joy and worship and prayer even. And in the end, that's what this whole life amounts to, the life that's here given to us in the church, this whole life, this beautiful, crazy, sometimes confusing life given to us in the church, is at the most basic level an invitation. Some might call what we have just a bunch of dead and lifeless rules, and they are wrong. What we hold in our hands, brothers and sisters, what we receive in our spiritual inboxes each and every day are not dead and lifeless rules. What we receive each day are life-giving and living invitations. Invitations to enter more deeply into the love and the fellowship poured forth onto this world by our triune God. We don't fast because we have to. We fast because we love God. That's the reason. When we fast, we accept the invitation to set aside the business as usual approach to life and to open ourselves to the healing presence of our loving and living God. When Jesus heals the suffering woman on the Sabbath, he reminds us what the Sabbath laws are all about. The Sabbath is set aside as holy, not because the Sabbath is something to be worshipped. The Sabbath is honored because holy rest in the presence of God is always something that brings healing and life. The Sabbath needs to be protected from the business-as-usual spirit of a world that wants to turn what is special into something that is ordinary and unremarkable. And so our Lord breaks the Sabbath laws precisely to remind us of the true meaning and value of those laws. God does not give us rules. He issues a constant and continuous stream of invitations. They're not rules because you can't compel love. That's the one thing that we own. That's the one thing that God can't control, our hearts. And God's deepest desire is to have his love shown to us and given to us returned in kind. But you can't compel love. We're not robots. You can't order us around like that. To make someone love you makes the love just disappear. It's no longer love if you can command it. If we listen to the world, if each day is business as usual, then there's little chance of stepping more deeply into the life of divine fellowship made possible by Christmas, made possible by the Incarnation, made possible by the birth of the second person of the Trinity as a man. But if we shake things up even just a little bit, if we choose to place our own needs below the will of God, place our needs below the needs of others, then quiet miracles begin to take place. We begin to look more and more like the woman in today's gospel reading. Our suffering gives way to healing. Our isolation gives way to fellowship and communion. Our crookedness gives way to uprightness. If the world had its way, every day would be Black Friday. The will of our triune God, however, is that each and every day be a real and genuine Sabbath. May we accept this divine invitation. May we move more deeply into this life of joy and forgiveness and true freedom offered to us by our loving God. May we accept the invitation to move more and more deeply into the kingdom of God. Amen.